the Sunday Morning Linux Review with Mary Tomich, Tom Lawrence, and Tony Bemis as the Beaver.
Welcome to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. This is episode 205, Fresh Looks, Parabola Linux. That's right. We're doing a Linux review today. And the selected distribution is Parabola Linux, or as they refer to it, Parabola GNU Linux Libre.
Yes. Lots of words.
Yeah, it is. But I'm going to be calling it Parabola Linux. And it's actually listed, and I think probably some of the more astute listeners, I'm hoping actually all of our listeners are astute. It is listed by the free, it's listed under the Free Software Foundation as a fully free Linux distribution. So that's why, and so you now know what it has and what it doesn't have. According to the project, it balances simplicity, elegance, code correctness, and bleeding edge free software. So I thought, my goodness, I got to take a look at this.
You can't go wrong with bleeding edge.
No. Not when it has code correctness and bleeding edge in the same sentence. I'm thinking, wow, I gotta look at this thing. So yes, and when I initially set out to review this, the procedure I follow, Tom, is I will set out my testing laptop. I then run it live just to kind of get a feel for it, and then I go ahead and install it. But it was kind of shocking when I set up my testing laptop to run this thing because I ran into a bias. There was a BIOS, well, that's something different, but you know, I ran into a BIOS problem where it said my BIOS was very broken. I have no idea how that happened. So what I could do is I could run it live, but if I tried to boot into the existing distro on this testing laptop, it just crapped out. And what it did is it got into this loop, that initial post loop, post test that it does, it just looped through that because it couldn't get past a certain situation, something with the hard. I don't know if it went to check the hard drive. So anyway, what I ended up doing, so I could complete this on time, so we'd have an episode, is that I went ahead and I ran it in VirtualBox.
That's how I run a lot of my
yeah.
stuff.
So anyway, but I resorted to running it in VirtualBox on GhostBSD to conduct my review. So I felt like a real pioneer. Anyway, but let's talk about the vitals. So the name, of course, is which. You all know by now is Parabola Linux. It's Parabola 2016.07.27. So that will tell you exactly when its birthday is, which was July 27th, 2016. Now, the maintainer actually is Andre Fabian Silva Delgado and a team of six other individuals, one of whom may be his brother because there's another Silva Delgado on the team. So there's a nice group of them. They're kind of scattered. There's South America, North America, and other places. Now, Parabola Linux is a derivative of Arch Linux, and the kernel that they use, and this goes back to the bleeding edge. It uses a kernel 4.6.4, so it's I think that's pretty recent. And then the review desktop is Mate. Now, while getting to know Parabola Linux, I discovered that there are three different versions. There is the main live ISO, which weighs in at about 608 megabytes, so it's relatively compact, but it lets you install the base system. And apparently, configuration and customization are up to you. I wonder how this thing looks with KDE. Just kidding. I didn't even try it. The second version is called Talking Parabola.
Yeah, you mentioned this, so it speaks to you.
It does.
Disability one, so for people who are sight impaired.
Exactly, and I decided to go ahead and download that and just give it a try because I was curious about how it worked. And essentially, it's a respin of the Parabola ISO, and it's just modified to include speech and braille output for blind and visually impaired users. Now, I ran it live only. I did not install it. But what was kind of cool is that it correctly noted my current directory as well as any commands I entered. I heard them repeat back to me in that very robotic voice, ls, that type of thing when I went to list directory contents. And then And then I changed to a directory and it would list everything in there. So it could get kind of long, but it certainly seems to work for folks who are visually impaired and want to make use of that type of Linux distro. Now, the version that I reviewed is Parabola Linux Mate. And one word of caution, however, when I fired up the live environment, if pink and lavender are not your favorite colors, plan on changing the desktop wallpaper immediately. It reminded me of a scene from a Disney cartoon. It was kind of a cartoon scene. It was nicely drawn, but it was just not something I would ever be seen.
I've always noticed in the really loud colored shirts come from South America. Like people wear mm-hmm. that. It's a culture. They love that bright color.
Yeah. So this was very lavender, so pink, and just very very well drawn. But it just wasn't my style. But aside from the wallpaper, the desktop has a very clean Mate look, just four icons, the computer, Roots Home, Parabola Installation CLI, and that's exactly what it was called, and then trash. One thing when you do fire it up in the live environment, you are root, essentially. At least the way I discovered that is when I opened up a terminal and I definitely had the root prompt, so. Just so that you're aware of it. And the fact that it also had root home on the desktop was another indication that I was
running. So you didn't have the sudo. You were actually fully root.
I was fully root. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's just one of those things. But I was bemused by that such a light, fluffy desktop, wallpaper, would even have anything on it that hinted at CLI. Stealth mode Linux. So let's see what happened here. So, and by the way, too, when I booted to the live environment, I had to select keyboard. So a little window presented itself. I had to select the keyboard layout I wanted. And if you're new to Linux, that can be a little confusing. But, of course, I went down and looked for the U.S. version of the keyboard. There was also I want to say locales, a couple of little instances where I had to go down the list and manually select what I wanted. But once I got past that, It was just fine. And let's see here. The defaults. Let's take a look at what the Parabola Linux runs for defaults. And since it's Linux Libre, you know that it's only going to have certain things like Ice Weasel, which actually on a hot August day sounded pretty darn good.
Yes.
Anything with the word ice in it did. It also, the Office Suite, and I call it Abbey Numeric because it was Abbey Word and Numeric as the quote unquote Office Suite. And that's fine because again, this is more of a lighter weight. Yeah, lighter weight.
LibreOffice is great, but it's getting big because mm-hmm. of all the features. So it makes sense.
Yeah. And so if you've got somewhat modest requirements as far as word processing and spreadsheet activity, Abbey Word and Numeric should suit you just fine. Now, the mail client does come with a pre-installed mail client, and that's IceDove. Some good coolness there. And then also the file manager is Kaja.
Okay.
Yep. I believe that's a standard Mate. It's probably Kaja because I think in Spanish the J is an H.
Yes.
So it's not Jalapena.
It's not Jalapena.
All right. So it's Kaja. All right. Pardon me. But anyway, so let's go on to the install. Now, Parabola Linux initiates the install using a bash script. And this generates a basic Debian-like screen with a list of steps to complete. There are 7 steps in all. And I'm sure it's no coincidence that there are also 7 deadly sins. So how many would I break during the install? Well, as it turns out, at least one. More on that later. The first thing I wanted to do was to test Gparted in a virtual environment. Because keep in mind now, it was actually on this laptop, and I'm running it in VirtualBox. So I decided to go ahead and fire up Gparted just to see if I could actually partition that little virtual disk. And I ran into a little problem because I didn't have the VirtualBox guest editions installed.
Guest extensions, yeah.
Or extensions, yep. So what I ended up doing is I had to kind of back out of it, install those. And then once I got those installed, because it was really interesting, what happened is that I had cursor control, but when Gparted opened up, it was wacky. So I backed out, installed the guest extensions additions, and then went back in again, and all was well. So that was good. So Gparted allowed me then to create 3 partitions successfully. So I was able to do that, kind of walk through that. So I was very happy to see that even in a virtual environment, I was able to successfully use Gparted. But I once, and that was step one of this list of seven steps. So the next step then is to install the base system. Now the system churned in an expected way, installing 134 packages. The display is a very basic yet informative scroll of what is being added installed. If you're familiar with the way Arch does things, you know it'll essentially show you the progress for each package that you're installing, and then it will just kind of scroll to the next one. And so that's what was proceeding on the screen. And then it appeared to successfully complete. At least I was returned to the list with no error message or other obvious issues. At that point, I decided that the installer is not very intuitive, because rather than just say, hey, you've completed step two, your next logical step would be three, it reset up to step one. So I think whoever wrote that bash script didn't, maybe they need to take something into account that the next step is three, and so three should be highlighted.
Mm.
But it didn't. One was highlighted.
Oh.
So if you do things the way I do, which is I got this running over here and I'm doing something else and I go back here, okay, what step was I on? I will confess I did install the base system twice.
Yeah.
And that's only because –
it just overrode itself.
Yeah, it just did, yeah. So it just wastes a little extra time getting this thing going. But and again, that's just simply because it just reset to the first step. Let's see here. So yes, I did install the base system twice. I went to step three and installed Grub. Interestingly, the prompt install, and you know how it is when you want to install something, it will ask you yes or no. Do you you want to overwrite a configuration file, or do you want to do this or do that? You'll have to respond. Well, what the script does is I saw that scroll by, but I never had the opportunity to select yes or no. It made an assumption of yes, and then it just proceeded with the install. And I suspect it's probably because you already implied that when you went to step three or four, whatever step I was on, three. And so it just said, well, even though in the standard Arch way, you have to respond, we're assuming you're responding yes, so we're going to shoot right by it. So, yeah, so I didn't have to do that, but I did see that. Not a big deal, just something I noticed. And let's see here. Moving on. And the next step was step four, system configuration. And that's the standard stuff. I had to select the host name. I then had to enter my time zone. And it gives you one example. You remember most times when you're installing a Linux distro, you get a whole list of continents and cities, and you can just – or you get the little map. But
I like
of course,
the map.
Well, the map's great, but this is the N-Curses Debian yes. view, so it's those four colors, and they don't even give you a list. So I had to – I thought, okay, I think it's like America Detroit,
yep.
I think. So I went ahead and it accepted it. So that was good. That was good to see. But again, it was not intuitive. So I was taken back to that wallpaper that looks so, so child friendly like and so nice. And then I'm thinking, I'm mushing around in this installer.
In the command line.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just kind of odd. But anyway, I got past that. Then I had to select my key map, and US was automatically selected. So I was glad to see that. It must read whatever I selected for the live environment. It must take that setting and then imply it for the install. So that was good. I had to select my language. I chose English. Intuitive of me. And let's see. And actually, it was already pre-selected based on, you know, my life setup. And when I went to the next sub-step in this, my configuration, you could tell that it was making these assumptions. So I was happy with that, and I just went ahead and, moved on. Now, the next was the root password. And then I went back to the list. Of course, when I go back to the list after I set up the root password, boom, it goes back up to the top. So the next step is optional. And this is what separates. You remember at the beginning of the review, I talked about the kind of the base system parabola. Then you've got the talking parabola. Then you've got the Mate. So at this point, it's called optional. And that's to install all the desktop applications. Otherwise, you're going to have just a basic system. So I decided to do that, or my review would be ending very early. So anyway, there were several hundred more megabytes that were prepared for install. And this step obviously populates the application menu with the standard set of programs that I saw in the live environment. I also noticed, too, interestingly enough, it installs as a very standard thing, GCC. It also installed Clang. And maybe that's part of Arch, but I know that in the BSD world, FreeBSD, Clang is the compiler, is the standard compiler, which I think they got from Apple. So I did notice that that was automatically installed too. and then I rebooted the system. So I got I got through my list. And probably rebooted with no problems except for the My Little Pony background, which I immediately changed to a picture of Jupiter.
There you go.
it was so much better. And as for desktop content is concerned, there isn't much difference between the live and installed environment as far as, you know, the icons you see on the desktop, aside from the fact that it's much faster, of course, because it's not reading it off the DVD, and the fact that the install CLI icon is gone. So now, since Parabola is based on Arch, it uses the same package management system, and that's Pac-Man Octopi. You can use the Octopi front end. I tested the package management system by installing both from the CLI and from Octopi. Both completed their task without a problem. I think what I did is I installed Cheese, which is that little webcam program, and it popped up in my menu, no problems at all. So, you know, again, it's based on Arch. Arch is rock solid and excellent distro. So Parabola inherits that solidness. Now, the system menu includes the Octopi repository editor. It's a very cleanly laid out utility for changing repositories, and it's basically as easy as checking or unchecking a box. Now, it allows you to make a backup of the repository configuration or load an existing backup if you've already made one. Arch's well-known AUR, you know, the Arch User Repository, AUR, system is not available in Parabola for obvious reasons. R is a, for those who aren't aware, R, I've never known if that's how you pronounce it. AUR is a collection of community-generated packages and builds, and automatically adding this repository would violate the spirit of GNU Linux Libre and probably get it kicked off the SF list of approved Libre distros.
Yeah.
But that's not to say you could, couldn't get it set up in Parabola, but if you're going to go to that length, then you might as well just run Arch rather than Parabola. So, and one thing too, according to Parabola Linux's website, you can upgrade or you can transition an Arch install to Parabola, and they have they had a command there that you can use to remove the non-free software if that's what you choose to do. So they list that. I did not try that because I thought that was going to be too much work, but it's basically Pac-Man space dash uppercase Q small m. Now, they also say that some AUR packages are Libre and that are in the PCR repository and that can be activated on the Octopi editor, which I saw. And by default, it is unchecked. So you can just go in there, check it, update the repository software, and then go ahead and install the Libre versions of packages from AUR. But by default, it's not available. Now, other interesting programs I found. Now, Parabola did not come with a lot of what I would call interesting programs. It's just a lot of good basic stuff, as I mentioned earlier. Abbey Word Numeric. It's got Plume, I think, the text editor. Those solid basic things that most distros you'd expect to see on them. But it did have something called LinPhone. And I don't know, Tom, are you familiar with LinPhone?
No. Is it a SIP phone or?
Yeah, it's an open source voice over IP phone or SIP phone that makes it possible to communicate freely with people over the internet. So you can do voice, video, text, instant messaging, that type of thing. And it uses that SIP protocol. I include a link to it. I did not go in and set that up, but I noted it was there, and I thought, well, that's kind of convenient. So anyway, but my rating on this, aside from the install, which is a little confusing, I found Parabola Linux to be a serviceable distro, especially if you like Arch but want the purity of a Free Software Foundation approved distro. I liked it. It certainly. I like Debian. Personally, I like using Debian-based distros myself, but yeah. I think if you like Arch but you want a little bit a purer desktop, then this is certainly something to take a look at. But for God's sakes, change that wallpaper.
Yeah.
Unless you like My Little Pony.
That's all right. Bright colors are cool.
Yeah.
Something different.
Yeah. So.
As we sit in this dark green and
– green and black.
Oh, green and black room.
Yeah, with all the foam rubber on the walls.
Yes.
So, so I've still got it in my little virtual machine here.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll admit I have not tried Arch, and I just not.
You'd like
to
it.
I think I would.
I reviewed it several years ago, and I also took the plunge on Slackware too, and found that I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my own reasoning for using Ubuntu all the time is it works with all the video editing I do because I'm constantly using these for work functions, mm-hmm. and you know, both my laptop and desktop. But I don't know. I need to play around. We're rebuilding my computer again tomorrow, so.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, maybe what you should do is just, do you run VirtualBox on it?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you just throw it in?
We run a lot. That's how I do all my testing for all my firewalls and everything is virtual. Mm-hmm. But we're switching over to a liquid cooling system because I'm sick of fan noise and editing it out in Audacity.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have a higher end system to do all this, but because it's been getting hotter, mm-hmm. and we've had two AC units running at my office to keep it all cool, and then my fans kick on, and
yeah, mm-hmm. that does create an issue. It does. So, but I've turned off my computer. I usually leave my work computer running over the weekend, just because. But this weekend I turned it off. I thought, there's no air conditioning in that office, first of all. Mm. There's a fan. The air conditioning is upstairs on the third floor where my Linux machine is. That's why I like sitting up there. But, yeah, so we'll see what happens. And when I turned it back on, by the way, too, I had just a lot of updates. And those updates seemed to have fixed some of the little nuances that were annoying me.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah, it was exciting. So
yeah. No, this is nice. I like when things go completely free. It's cool they can. Mm-hmm. We're getting there. A more open source world. Mm-hmm. We're winning.
You know, and just to go back to the whole BIOS malfunction on my testing laptop, I thought I was going to be able to fix it, but that BIOS is probably about 6 or 7 years old. And I'm wondering, is there a way to salvage that you're aware of?
Sometimes there's just no BIOS updates for some of them. We run into mm-hmm. weird problems all the time at the office where computers don't accept things because of BIOS problems. And mm-hmm. when it's older equipment, that's just kind of the risk of it.
So I would think that I could wire it up to my router, you know, with a network cable. But the problem is it doesn't even boot. I mean, it just cycles through that screen. Mm. And I'd have to go into – I think I can get into the BIOS. Maybe I can't. I don't know. And maybe try to do an update from there. I'll have to give it a try and see. Hey, that'll be something I'll report on next time we record.
Yes.
How so, I fixed my – I'd like to report that I fixed it. We'll see how far I get.
Yeah, it fixes – it's a lot of them. On our – we look – one of the things mm-hmm. we pull on our remote management – desktop when we're managing clients' computers mm-hmm. remotely is we know all their BIOS revisions because sometimes when they're having a strange problem, that fixes some of their issues they're having, especially with video issues and things like that. Because most all the for our client desktops are running, you know, integrated video. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of laptops we support. So, mm-hmm. well, that was a good review, though.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a nice little system. So, if you're interested in Arch and you want free.
But you want to go pure?
Yeah.
You want to please Richard Stallman?
That's right. Parabola is for you.
Parabola is for you.
All right. So anything else we want to add?
That's it for now.
All right. Well, this has been the Sunday Morning Linux Review, Episode 205, Fresh Looks, Parabola Linux. This is Mary Tomich.
And Tom Lawrence.
Hey, we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. If you would like more information about this or other shows, go to smlr.us. Feel free to send comments to show@smlr.us or give us a call at 734-258-7009. I'm John Miller. If you don't like it, you can
bite my 8-bit metal ass. That's bite with a Y.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Gay Wisher Honky Magoo 5150 and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxluggast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
Linux Luddites is a show where we try out all the latest free and open source software and then decide we like the old stuff better.
More than just news and releases, we check out a wide range of Linux distros, cover your feedback, talk about obscure command line programs, discuss burning issues over a pint, and much, much more. So join me, Paddy,
and me, Joe, every 2 weeks for news, reviews, comment, and generally being grumpy at LinuxLuddites.com.
Linux Luddites, because not all change is progress.